Well, hello, everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, and I thank God afresh today for His unspeakable gift. Yes, and I thank God for extending the day of grace so that I might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to present Jesus Christ, His Son, as the only Savior for sinful men and women, boys and girls. Now, friends, today I want to give you a very brief statement of my basic spiritual beliefs. Some of you may be tuned in today for the very first time, and you're wondering what I believe. First of all, I believe that Jesus Christ was and is the eternal Son of the eternal God. I believe that He came from heaven. He was born of the Virgin called Mary, and He lived a sinless life while here on earth. And yet, my friend, nearly 2,000 years ago, I believe that He died on the old rugged cross, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us back to God. I believe that He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and even today He is seated at the right hand of His Father God in heaven. I believe this book that I hold in my hand, the Bible, to be without question or reservation the divinely inspired Word of God. I believe every word in it from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. And for that reason, I make absolutely no apology for it. I believe in the Lordship of Christ, the authority of God's Word, the indwelling, guidance, and presidency of the Holy Spirit, and the priesthood of believers. I believe in the existence of a literal heaven to gain, as well as in the existence of a literal hell to shun. I believe that Christians should be gathered unto the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ for public worship, praise, and ministry of the Word of God. I also believe in redeeming the time by preaching the gospel because the coming of the Lord is very near. Yes, every indication in the world today points to the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to claim from the world His own. He may come today. Now, of course, there are many other things which I believe, but those that I've just mentioned are the most basic and fundamental tenets which I hold precious. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our God, that even though the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy love, Thy mercy, and Thy grace expressed in the giving of Thy Son and His ultimate death at Calvary's cross. We thank Thee, our God, that one of these days He's coming again to take those of us who are saved, whether dead or alive, back home to be with Himself. We're going to be with and like Him throughout the endless ages of all eternity. We have a little bit today of that joy unspeakable that's full of glory. And yet, Lord, we can't help but have that joy tempered by the knowledge that there are those who are yet outside of Christ. Many that are near and dear to Thy people, they're still on the broad road going down to the pit. Lord, we have every reason to believe as we look about us in the world today that if they're not saved soon, the likelihood is they'll not be saved at all. So, Father, we ask Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Bless wherever Christ is being preached to the ends of the earth. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, It Is No Secret What God Can Do.
It is no secret what God can do. done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
I thank God today that it truly is what we've been hearing, no secret what God can do. Yes, if God can save a religious, Bible reading, Sunday school teaching, self-righteous man like me, the speaker, as He did back on June the 2nd of 1952, then I can tell you one thing, He can save anyone on the face of the earth today. Because if hell were never prepared for the devil and his angels, it should have been prepared for Minor Hawk. Yes, I knowingly trampled underfoot the grace, the love, and the mercy of God expressed in the death of His Son for many, many years. And I can say like the Apostle Paul today that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Now then, today I'm going to use as my text a verse of Scripture as we find in the Old Testament book of Job. Job chapter 13 and verse 4. Job chapter 13 and verse 4. But ye are forgers of lies, ye are all physicians of no value. Let me repeat the text. This is Job 13 and verse 4. But ye are forgers of lies, ye are all physicians of no value. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His word. Now, friends, in our text for today, we have a most important practical truth brought to our attention by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, with all due respect to the doctors of medicine who are bringing credit to their chosen profession, nevertheless, there are a few so-called quacks whose practices make a person wonder why they are in such a noble profession. Well, I thank God today for every truly inspired and dedicated doctor and surgeon who maintains and defends the high principles of his profession. And I am especially thankful for the doctors who are not only devoted to their profession, but who are also devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they are consecrated children of God through faith in God's Son. And furthermore, I can think of no greater privilege for a Christian doctor than to witness to his patients who have so much confidence in him. But friends, today, I'd like to direct our attention to these doctors of spiritual things, those who seek to give spiritual help to poor souls who have entrusted them with their spiritual guidance and understanding. Yes, and it can truly be said of many of these spiritual doctors today that they are forgers of lies and they are physicians of no value. Now today, let's just take a look at some of these spiritual quacks and see the type of spiritual medicine that they are imparting to their sin-sick patients. First of all, we'll scan the activities of Dr. Atheist. Dr. Atheist. Now, he doesn't believe in the existence of a divine power called God. He believes that everything just happens without any supernatural cause whatsoever. He doesn't believe that the Bible is God's word. He's satisfied to believe that a group of men got together and decided to write a book, and the resulting piece of literature was called the Bible, for want of a better name. Dr. Atheist doesn't believe in the Genesis account of creation, or the Great Flood, or anything else found in the Scriptures, even though subsequent history has proven these facts to be so. Yes, and even though every new discovery of science is a further revelation of God. Friend, in Psalm 14 and verse 1, we read that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. And I personally feel sorry for poor sin-sick souls who are patients of Dr. Atheist, because in all likelihood, they'll go on in their spiritual blindness until they pass out of time into eternity, there to meet the one who created the universe, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, the one who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. Yes, the one who will judge the poor lost sinners who would rather believe Dr. Atheist than to believe in a loving God and creator. Well, there's one thing sure, my friends. There are no atheists down in hell. No, there are no atheists in hell today because they changed their mind 5 seconds after they died. Now, another physician of no value is Dr. False Peace. Dr. False Peace. He has one of the largest practices in town. His patients come to him because he makes them feel good. He tells them that there's nothing to worry about. They're in good spiritual health. After all, they're church members. They've been baptized. They've been confirmed and dedicated. They might even sing in the choir. They give of their finances to every worthy cause. They even try to keep the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. Surely if anyone gets to heaven, they will. But will they? Ah, no, my friend. Dr. False Peace is leading you astray. The Bible says in Romans 3:12 that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Did you hear that? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Sinner friend, the next time you see Dr. False Peace, you ask him to read Isaiah 64 and verse 6, where God says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, that means all of our good works and religious rituals, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. No, my friend, we can't do a thing to save our own soul. Why, if we could, logic itself tells us that there would have been no need for the Lord Jesus Christ to come from heaven, live a sinless life on earth, and yet die that shameful and ignominious death at Calvary's cross. Ah, but thank God, my friend, he did come. He did live a sinless life, and he did die on Calvary's cross, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. So, friend, I'd advise you to read the Bible instead of listening to Dr. False Peace. After all, you wouldn't want to go down to hell now, would you? Of course not. Well, then, that leads us to another spiritual quack that I would call Dr. No Hell. Dr. No Hell. He's got all the answers, and you know where he got them? From his little human brain, which yields his finite understanding. He tells all his patients that a loving God would not cast a creature of his into a lake of fire. And you know, my friends, Dr. No Hell preaches from an unusual Bible, too. It's much thinner than mine, because he has torn out all the pages which tell about the wrath of God. He tore out the pages in 2 Peter chapter 2, which tell about the sinning angels which were cast out of heaven and down into hell. He tore out the pages in Genesis chapter 7, which tell how God destroyed all but 8 souls in the great flood of Noah's day. He tore out the pages that tell how God rained fire and brimstone down upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. Yes, and he tore out the pages in Luke's gospel, which describe the man who died and awoke in hell. Friend, Dr. No Hell, he's the one that tore out all the pages in the New Testament which tell of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, if there were no hell and lake of fire awaiting every Christ rejecter, then why would God the Father pour forth his terrible wrath upon his dearly well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, over 1900 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, was made sin for you and I, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sinner friend, the gospel is good news, and it can only be good news to those who realize the result of not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. After all, if a person is saved, they must be saved from something. And friend, that something, according to the Bible, is nothing less than an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. In John 3 and verse 16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, in John chapter 3 and verse 36, we read, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And I think of those questions found in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 33 and verse 14. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? Sinner friend, please don't listen to Dr. No Hell, but rather listen to the Word of God, which clearly tells us that there truly is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Now let's take a look at still another spiritual physician of no value, and his name is Dr. Do-Better. Dr. Do-Better. He's the quack who tells his congregation that they're not perfect, so if they expect to get to heaven, they'll have to do better. They'll have to turn over a new leaf, and they'll have to reform. Yes, he tells them to stop drinking, smoking, or using harmful drugs if they want to be saved. He tells them to put more money into the collection plate. Yes, and he tells them to make a lip confession of Jesus Christ as Savior, and everything will be just fine. Everything will be all right in the end. Listen, sinner friend, beware of Dr. Do-Better. He's a cunning tool of the devil, and he's peddling the diabolical doctrine of reformation as a substitute for the regeneration brought about by the Holy Spirit of God from above. Friend, the Bible says that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. And if it were possible for our sinful and carnal nature to be improved upon, then there would be no need for the new birth of which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in John chapter 3. It's there you may recall how he told Nicodemus, the most religious man who was a Pharisee, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, a sinful nature can only reproduce sin. And as far as God is concerned, an unsaved sinner is nothing but sin covered with skin. Over in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that if we're not saved, then in God's sight, we're wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, which have not been closed, not been bound up, nor mollified with ointment. In other words, we look like spiritual lepers in God's sight if we've never been saved and born again. Friend, if you're unsaved today, you're rolling sin as a sweet morsel under your tongue, and all the reformation in the world will never make you fit for God's heaven. Over in Titus 3 and 5, we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saves us. So, friend, it's about time you change spiritual doctors, because Dr. Do-Better is a physician of no value, and he's robbing you of the truth of God's word, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, friend, if you quit going to Dr. Do-Better, then you make sure you don't go to that cunning quack named Dr. Time Enough. Dr. Time Enough. Of all the spiritual quacks of no value, he's the worst. He tells you that there is a God. He tells you that Jesus Christ was the virgin-born Son of God. He tells you that a flaming hell awaits every Christ rejecter. Yes, he tells the sinner that they must be saved and born again if they ever expect to be in God's heaven. But he also tells them to wait. Wait. Don't do anything too hasty. You're young and full of life. Live it up. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself while you can. And then just before you die, just before you pass from time into eternity, then you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But not today. Not today. Sinner friend, please don't listen to this spiritual doctor even for one moment. He's an emissary of the devil, and there are countless millions down in hell today who were his patients while they were here on earth. They too thought they had plenty of time to get saved, and now it's too late. They're down in the pit, weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. Friend, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The Word of God is very, very clear on the matter of when to trust in the finished work of Christ. It's now. N-O-W, now. Not tomorrow. No, we're told in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. No, don't wait to get saved tomorrow. Tomorrow might not come. Or next week. Or next month. Or next year. God says it's now. Now. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 we read, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Acts 17 and verse 30 we read, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And finally, in Hebrews 4 and verse 7, God says, today, not tomorrow, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And then I think, too, of that solemn message that we have over there in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Listen to this. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Did you hear that, sinner friend? Let me repeat that. This is Proverbs 29 and verse 1. God says, he that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, friend, you can't say you haven't been warned. No, I'm warning you today. In fact, I think of what we read in Ezekiel 33 and verse 7. Four very significant words. God says, warn them from me. So you see, my friend, it's not the speaker that's doing the warning. It's God, the one who loves you, and the one who expressed that love by sending his son Jesus Christ to die for you at Calvary. He's the one that tells us to warn you from him. Friend, I read in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And yet I don't doubt for one moment that there may be some of you listening in today, and you've been hearing the gospel many, many times. Perhaps down through the years you've heard the gospel of the grace of God. You've been basking in the sunshine of God's love. And yet, my friend, you're still unsaved. Friend, God is long-suffering. We read that in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, how patient God is. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, God wants you to trust his Son as your Savior right now, while the door of his mercy is still open. Don't be like that man, Governor Felix, over in Acts chapter 24, who told the Apostle Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Why, he was under such conviction, listening to the gospel of the grace of God, we read that he actually trembled. And yet he says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Well, friend, we never read where Governor Felix ever had a more convenient time to get saved. Again, we read two chapters later on. Over there in Acts chapter 26, we read of the man called King Agrippa. He was under such deep conviction of sin, too, that he actually told the Apostle Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Sinner friend, we never read where King Agrippa ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was like many who followed him, almost saved, but completely lost. Oh, how sad to be the object of God's grace and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, and then to turn your back upon God and go down to a lost sinner's hell. Friend, please don't listen to Dr. Time enough, because he's a spiritual physician of no value, and he himself is hastening on to the lake of fire. Now, friends, I've been bringing before you today some of the spiritual doctors that are propagating their devilish doctrines to their patients or congregations, and according to the Bible, they are forgers of lies, and they are physicians of no value. Yes, even though they may have spent many years in a seminary, a theological seminary, learning all about church history and things like that, they might even have the initials DD after their name for Doctor of Divinity, but my friend, those initials DD will mean doomed and damned unless they too trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But friend, listen, why not come by faith today to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the only one who has the remedy for your sin. Yes, the remedy for your lost spiritual condition in God's sight. And that remedy, my friend, is the precious blood which he shed at Calvary's cross. Yes, I read in 1 John 1 and verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, I read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Friend, if you come to Dr. Jesus Christ right now, you'll be instantly healed. You'll be made every whit whole, and you'll know the joy of sin forgiven. Friend, I read in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yes, we can be healed of that dread disease called sin and its consequent, which is eternal death, if we trust to the Lord Jesus Christ alone as our own and personal Savior. So, friend, whoever you are out in Radio Land today, I plead with you, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, acknowledge your sinful condition in God's sight. Repent of your sin and simply trust Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we again bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee for thy beloved Son. We thank thee, our God, that he loved us so much that he willingly went all the way to Calvary's cross. And there he died, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us back to thee. Our sins had separated us from thyself, but we thank thee, our God, for the days in between, the one and only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. We thank thee for the value and the virtue thou hast placed upon his precious blood that flowed for our sin at Calvary's cross. And we trust, our God, that out in Radio Land today, men and women, boys and girls are accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We'll be so careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry or other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.